John Bartholomew Tucker here.
I think probably the finest compliment you can pay an American writer is to call him an American humorist. There aren't many, and my next guest is an American humorist, Gene Shepard. He's reached many people in this century of ours with his writings, and he reached many more with his new book. It's called Ferrari in the Bedroom. And I got all the way down to the last chapter, Ferrari in the Bedroom. Good morning, Gene. I still don't understand the title as a result.
John, you know, you bother me, though. You showed a distinct anti-squirrel bias this morning.
Did you see that?
You were worried about squirrels eating, and I was worried about that.
Not worried about squirrels eating at all.
I wanted to run out and make a phone call and say, I represent the squirrels.
I like gray squirrels. No, I like the gray. You noticed, you picked out. I don't like the red squirrels.
That color prejudice is still with you. Sickening sight.
Trying to regain control, he said. What's the title mean? Ferrari in the Bedroom.
Well, John,
it's a live show, so if it's going to mean that much less.
Do you know what a Ferrari is?
Yes.
All right, then. You know what a bedroom is.
I know what a bedroom is.
All right. I have a thesis, John, that sex within our time will become an Olympic event. There'll be freelance school figures.
Kurt Gowdy, yep, will be covering.
Howard Cosell will say, we're watching a great moment in sports, right? Down there will be a freelance, magnificent freestyle going on it.
Don't have to get too graphic. We get the entire picture.
Well, you asked, John, and I'm telling you, open a can of peas.
I thought it was something that we could, like the machine would take over.
I see, John. No.
Not that simple.
Hacks would write about the world that way. The machine is taking over. The machine is not taking over anything.
I thought you'd be one who would love that. And talking about bias, you love machines.
No,
anything in front of you had dials and knobs and tubes and things, and you know,
if all we had to worry about is a machine, we'd be all right. I'm worrying about a lot of things. I'm much more concerned with a cockroach.
Why is that?
Well, they really are taking over. You know, that's my hobby these days, stomping cockroaches. Oh, God. I love it. You know, I sneak up the stairs every night in my apartment down in the village at 2 in the morning, and I wait, see?
Yeah.
I put the key in a lock. I wait 2 beats, John, and I slam the door and throw the lights on, and I go in there. Sometimes I get 700 in a night. And I march around with little flags and playing horns and everything when I go in there.
You're down below the Mason-Dixon, they call them palmetto bugs, and you can't do that. The things are beauty.
Down there, they weigh 4 pounds apiece, too. Like that. You can saddle them up down there and run them.
Hey, I want to talk about your book a little bit before we get off here. I'm always interested in dedications, and this is to Frank and Julie Wald, and I was wondering why.
Well, if you knew Frank and Julie Wald, you'd know why.
I don't know them, so I'm asking
Frank,
why.
Frank Wald is the only guy I know who, well, he mainlines gadgets.
Okay.
This guy has a fantastic compulsion to fill his house, the vacant lots next to his house and warehouses in Brooklyn with totally useless stuff, which he buys at Abercrombie & Fitch. he's even got a doormat that he puts outside of his tent. He's one of these guys.
Oh, okay.
He goes camping, and he's got a doormat. You can buy it at Abercrombie & Fitch that's fully transistorized, and if any malefactor creeps up on your tent at night, steps on the doormat, a 4-track stereo plays the sound of distant wolves howling. Get the hell out.
I saw that.
Really,
you've got a kind of, I guess it could be called a Portnoy's Complaint.
That's right.
Type guy in Abercrombie.
Well, that
I thought that was you.
Well, no. As a writer, I'm just sort of a silent observer. And the eye that appears in all these stories is the more or less of a literary eye.
Yeah, but that particular eye was a guy who loved doormats and shortwave sets and ham radios.
I'm taking that guy down, definitely. See, you've got to realize that this guy has a common complaint. I don't think Freud lived back in the days when sex was a real hang-up. Not anymore, I think,
Freud, I just went on the past year. I didn't know what a weird guy he was. He didn't like people to look at him.
That's right.
Yeah, I mean,
that's the kind of God we follow.
Yeah. And
smoke rubber cigars.
He lives with his money.
Yes.
But that's why the analysis, did you know this?
People would paint his glasses.
No, when they're analysis, that's why they lie down, they don't look at him. Because they look at Floyd, he say, don't look at me.
Well, you know that beard tasted on, you know.
That's true?
Sure.
I believe anything.
He's faking it all the way.
I want to get into something. You believe, he keeps saying we'll be off here, trivia.
John, you're beginning to, the whole ship is weak in here now.
No, no, I'm enjoying myself now. Trivia is more important than essays, movies, films, all that. You cite H.L. Mencken's Americana thing in the American Mercury.
Yeah.
Showing more about what happened then than all the guys who wrote essays. Including Mencken, I guess, huh?
Yeah, well, it's when you talk about trivia, I don't think it's trivia. I mean, for example, there's a little news note that I read the other day of a guy who was picked up down in Philadelphia. And he was robbing a bank. And the way he was picked up, he came in there and he says, put $2,000 on the counter. And he had a note, see? And the clerk says, no. At which point he ran out, leaving the note.
Oh, yeah.
And then they picked up the note, and on the back it was a bill from the phone company with his name on it.
They went and picked him up, but did you hear with the final end of the story?
No,
they picked the guy up, see? And they said, you know, he was up before the judge, and he asked the judge if he thinks the fact that he was picked up for this attempted robbery would prevent him from taking his police examination.
Now, that says a lot about the morality of our time.
It says a lot. You have a few carefully, I've X'd out a few. That means they're the ones I didn't like so much as the other ones. We got
it. The way it is, Jim.
That's the way it is. You got to live with it. We're
like
going to come back and read.
X'ing all the stuff out I used to do.
Yeah. I know, Gene, but.
Did you enjoy the book?
I loved it. I got right down to the last chapter, truly. That's why I didn't know what to
do. That's
pretty good.
A lot of reading.
That took me several weeks.
You know, I like the way you read, John. It's the way your lips move and all that. It gives me a feeling of creative, hard reading.
I'm going to pause here, and I'm going to tell you, folks, I'm going to talk to Gene Shepard. Then we'll be back, and I'm going to ask him to read some of the trivia from his book. Not to say his book is trivia. In just a moment. This is from Ferrari in the Bedroom. Dodd Mead's the publisher, by the way. Now, this is the worst way to introduce something, but, Gene, this was the one that I think was the funniest.
Well, it says a lot about our time. It's a news note. Can you imagine Walter Cronkite reading this?
Yes.
With a little button stuck in his ear.
Yeah.
I wonder who that... Yeah, I've often wondered who that button is connected to.
You don't know?
I think it's God or something. Tells him what, yeah. Taipei, Formosa, October 12th. Nationalist Chinese legislator Wong Kai-hao today demanded the recall of one of his country's delegates to the UN. The delegate reportedly fell asleep during an October 9th speech by an Algerian delegate recommending the admission of communist China. Wong said Wen Yuanying was awakened by the applause of the communist bloc and joined in the cheering.
Yeah, right. Let me grab a few more.
Oh, you know, that tells the whole story. Can you imagine this guy waking up and applauding loudly?
What would that tell you 30 years from now, do you think,
about our times?
Well, it tells you a lot about...
What does Salzburger in the Times say?
Oh, Salzburger. I mean, it tells you that people, even during the midst of everything, tend to fall asleep at their great moments.
Tells you that.
You know, I think that's what bugs people about movies and stuff, because movie people, all drama is so directed.
Yeah.
When Michael Caine is looking into the eyes of Vanessa Redgrave, and, you know, they're having this big moment when their eyes meet and the camera gets all hazy and you see seagulls flying by and waves crashing. See, this is sex to most people. And in their own life, they keep looking at the chick and they notice her nose is sweating.
And so you've got to get back to reading again. Let's see.
All right, John.
Oh, read this one. This is kind of awful.
Which one? Oh,
right here.
All right, Fort Worth, Texas. I think this is a dynamic note of our time.
Listen, you're doing so well, we can get you an earpiece pretty soon.
The telephone rang as Mrs. F.A. Farnham was vacuuming her canary's cage. She wheeled to pick up the phone, and whoosh! Up the vacuum cleaner nozzle went Joey Boy with one desperate cheep. Mrs. Farnham jerked the bag open, grabbed out her canary, and desperately shook off a little dust. Joey Boy was still unrecognizable, so she put him under the faucet. Then, to be sure the bird didn't catch cold, she put him under her electric hair dryer. He has not been singing since then, Mrs. Farnham said.
The canary world.
He just sits hunched over and stares a lot. But he's eating well.
You need me.
I read the book and you didn't.
John, no, my timing is better than yours.
Oh, I see.
You notice that pregnant pause before the punchline?
I turned the page for you.
You would have read right through it, you know.
I was saying to you before the program, and now we're going to have a book. You have to come back. You'll come back, huh?
Oh, I'd love to.
Can you arrange that with Dodd Mead? Would I let you do that?
Sure. Dodd doesn't mind it. It's Mead that
gets nervous. Talk to Mead. Okay. But my favorite one was Little America, I Love You.
That's your favorite essay?
Yeah, the others I laugh more, I enjoy more, more provocative more, but I guess it meant more to me, seeing Little America.
You mean out there in Wyoming?
Yeah.
Sitting out there with that fantastic neon sign shining over it and the Florentine drapes.
Yep.
And the penguins for miles.
You said their own post office. How many times have you driven across the country?
How many times?
Many.
Many.
Yeah, me too. And when you see Little America, 600 miles, I think that's the first sight.
The worst time I ever had driving across country was being lost in the middle of Kansas in a Hudson Terraplane. That was 19 years old and had balsa wood valves.
I almost had the same experience.
The heater was gone. It was 40 below zero in the car and only 15 above outside.
I bought that car.
It's fantastic. Yeah. Same car. The transmission used to make a sound. It said, damn you.
Yeah, but it was a heater that you couldn't turn off here. Okay, we have no time left. It's been a great pleasure. I'll see you again in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I'm glad to see you got a job.
I finally got one, yeah. For a week. It's only for a couple of weeks.
But I've been stuck there for a while.
Yes, it was. Let me get the thing in you. Well, the Ferrari in the bedroom has been amply explained, by Gene Shepherd, who is the author of this book. Dodd Mead is the publisher.
Book.
It is. Fantastic. We're going to talk to Mead and come down very hard on him to get
you
back.
Genius.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't go that. One or two chapters. Thanks, Gene. We'll be right back. Excuse me a minute. Gene?
Yeah.
Mead says it's okay if Dodd says it's okay, and Dodd says it's okay.
Well, you know Mead great.
Okay. We thank Gene Shepherd for being on the program today, Dr. Joseph Shulman, of course, Gary Belker, and Haywood Gould. Tomorrow we have a wonderful program for you. This is John Bartholomew Tucker. Don't forget to get near home. You got a slide. We'll just thank Phil for being on the show. Phil, thanks a lot.
Oh,
say hello to Mr. Sullivan, will you?
Can I make you an honorary member of the Scenic Arts?
Sure.
Fire? Touch up the T.
You want to see it?
I'll do the J&B.
Huh? Notice how I hold it? See you tomorrow.
Okay, John.
Okay, thanks a lot, Sullivan.